So welcome, everyone, both those of us here in the sanctuary and those joining us online, as we are in week 3 of a 4-week series titled Decisions. Decisions. And if you've missed these last few weeks, let me catch you up. All of us have a story to tell. And a key thought for this series, if you're taking notes, which is very important for us to realize, is this. The decisions we make today determine the stories we'll tell tomorrow. Amen? Let's say that together. The decisions that we make today determine the stories we'll tell tomorrow. And that is so true. The reality is that about 5 years from now or so, you'll look back on this season of your life and you'll have a story to tell. And the good news is, for a lot of you, it's a story that you'll be proud of. Hey, a few years ago, let me tell you what happened and what I did. The bad news is, some of us will look back at this season of our lives and we won't be proud of our stories. The decisions we make today determine the stories we'll tell tomorrow. Now, the reality is, for many of us during this season of life, you know, we may run up against an obstacle or a challenge. Maybe it's a job that you don't think you can endure for another day. Or maybe it's a relationship that turns south and you think, hey, maybe it's not even worth staying in this relationship. Or maybe it's a dream or a vision or something that you have as a goal that you're trying to accomplish. And you think, this is never going to happen. And you're going to make a decision, do I stay the course or do I walk away? And beyond a shadow of a doubt, we need to acknowledge that there are times to walk away. There are times in our lives when we need to let a chapter end and we need to start a new chapter. There are times. But a very important thought, and if you're taking notes, it's this. Sometimes the best decision you can make is to stay when it would be easier to go. Sometimes the best decision you can make is to stay the course when it would be easier to walk away. So I'll give you an example. My junior year of high school, our football team was supposed to win district and then compete for the state championship. I mean, there was a lot of excitement about that in the community. It had been written up in several papers in Kansas, you know, the preseason predictions. And so there's a lot of expectation about that. But the first game of the season, our star senior quarterback broke his collarbone. He was out for the season. And so they had to look to the second stringer quarterback, a junior who thought he was going to just be riding the bench all year long. They had to look to him to carry the rest of the season. And that him was me. We played the next game and we fought, we struggled, we lost it by only 7 points. Man, it was close. We played all 9 games that season and we never lost by more than 7 except once. But we went 0-9. We did not win a game. And after all of that expectation and all that anticipation, you know, before the season, then to have it turn out like that, it was a nightmare. And I felt it particularly. I felt it particularly. And, you know, when it was all over, I was tempted to decide, no more football. I think I'll find something else to do. And yet, sometimes the best decision you can make is to stay when it would be easier to go. Well, I decided to come back my senior year, and as it turned out, we got a new coach, and he heard about some things and kind of assessed things, and he said, I'll tell you what, Bob, he says, I want you to be ready if we need you as quarterback, but I'm going to switch you to defense. I want you to play defensive strong safety. I think that is going to be a place for you. We went 7-1 that year. We played in the state semifinals. It was one of the most memorable experiences of my life. At one time or another, all of us face the dilemma. Should I keep at it or quit? Should I stay or should I go? And the big question we're trying to answer in this series is, how do we live a story worth telling? How do we live our lives today so that we will tell a story tomorrow that God wants us to tell? And the answer is found in this great little verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, when the writer to the Hebrews said, "Let us fix our eyes where? On Jesus. Not on the circumstances, not on the situation, but instead fix our eyes, our thoughts, our minds on Jesus." And who is Jesus? The author and perfecter of our faith. So how do we live a story worth telling? Well, we fix our eyes, we fix our thoughts, we fix our hearts on Jesus, the Son of God, who then is the author, who helps us live the story that he wants us to tell. So in this series, we're making four decisions. And week one, remember, I decided to begin. We decided to begin one discipline, just one, that will help us to live the story God wants us to tell. Week two, I decided to change. I decided to change one thing, just one thing that is hindering me from living the story that God wants me to tell. So today, week three, I decided to stay when it's easier to go. Next week, we're going to talk about I decided to go when it would be easier to stay, because every single one of you know to live out God's purpose for your life, there is going to be a time when you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone, when you're going to have to walk out of what's comfortable, and you're going to have to step out in faith, when it's more tempting to play it safe and to stay. Today I want to talk about when it's right to actually stay rather than walk away. And again, the reality for a lot of you, right now, you're facing something in your life where you're going to have to make a decision. Do I stay the course or do I walk away? Because it seems so much easier. Now, of the four decisions, I want to say this, that for a lot of you, this one will be the most important and most difficult decision you'll ever make. Some of you, you're going to listen and you're going to say, okay, I mean, I don't have any decisions like that today. And that's fair enough. But one day, I promise, you will face a difficult decision. And at that point, I'm asking all of us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and ask yourself, what is the story that God wants me to tell? And many of you are going to realize that the right thing to do is to stay when it would be easier to go. So there's a tremendous example of this in the Old Testament in a story about Naomi and her two daughters-in-law. You can read it in the book of Ruth. We had an overview of it a bit ago. Naomi was the mother-in-law. She actually had two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. Now, just a side note, this is kind of fun. Oprah Winfrey was actually named after Orpah. True story. When they were writing the birth certificate, someone intended to write Orpah, but instead wrote Oprah, which is just amazing, an amazing blessing, because, you know, Orpah doesn't quite have the same sound as Oprah. If you're just, you know, thinking about it. Well, that's an aside, but unfortunately, Naomi's husband died, and then tragically, her two sons died, and so that left Naomi and Orpah and Ruth without a husband. And in a society that time, that was a tragedy, because they were almost unemployable, and they didn't have anyone to take care of them. And so it would reduce them to almost the status of beggars, a little lower than slaves. And so Naomi, the mother-in-law, she says to her daughters-in-law, "Hey, go back home. It's going to be easier there. Maybe God will provide you a husband there. Go back home." And Orpah did. And no shame about that. it was much easier for her to go. She decided to, you know, it's the logical thing. It just makes sense. But Ruth decided to do something very different. She decided to stay when it would have been much easier for her to go. And Naomi tried to talk her out of it. Again, very graciously, in Ruth 1:15 and 16, Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and to her gods. Go back with her." Verse 16, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay.' Even though it would be easier to go," she says, "I will stay. Your people will be my people. And watch this, your God will be my God." She decides, you know what? We are family. And I'm choosing your God, the one true God that I've come to understand. I'm committing to Him and I'm committing to you. And even though it makes no sense to go, I'm deciding to stay. And that decision, I mean, I tell you how costly that turned out to be for Ruth, because she ended up a little less than a slave. She was a beggar, and she would go into the fields. And there was this rich guy, Boaz, an incredible guy. He owned these fields, and she'd go and she'd kind of pick up food after the harvesters had harvested the field. And if they left her any, she got to eat. And if they didn't leave much, then she didn't get to eat much. And Boaz, this amazing guy, he heard about her and for some reason had compassion on her. And he said to his guys, "Leave some extra food that she can have something to pick up." And he said, working those guys as well, "Don't you lay a hand on her either." And it raises the question, why would this rich landowner show compassion on this no-name girl? And the answer is because he had heard her story. He had heard how she had stayed with Naomi when it would have been easier to go. And so watch this response in verse 11 of Ruth chapter 2. Boaz replied, he basically said, "I've heard your story. I've been told all about what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. Now, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with the people that you did not know before. You stayed with your mother-in-law." And then he said this, he pronounces a blessing. And he says, "May the Lord repay you for what you have done." He pronounces a blessing. Now, neither one of them really realized how big this blessing would be, because through a series of unusual events, Boaz ended up marrying Ruth. And suddenly this girl who had no future whatsoever, in making this faithful decision, now she's one of the two women who have a book of the Bible named after her. And if you trace the lineage of Jesus, you will see that He came from her bloodline. Her total life is changed. And why? Because she decided to stay when it would have been easier to go. Now, don't miss the power of this. She didn't stay hoping that God would bless her. She stayed because she believed it was right. And God blessed her because she did what was right. All of us, at some point in our lives, we're going to come to a crossroads and we're going to have to make a decision. Should I stay the course when it would be easier to walk away? And a big question that we've been asking in this series, and I want to ask it again, I want us to give it time to think about it again, is this: what story does God want you to tell? You should be able to answer that as you look at your life. There's something in your life that's not where it could be, where it should be, where God would want it to be. What is the story that God wants you to tell? It might be that He wants you to spend more time with your family, or to help develop them spiritually, or maybe to develop yourself spiritually because you're not really growing as a follower of Christ. Or for some of you, it might be to stop pursuing your own dreams and surrender something to God. Or it might be to stop living for things that really don't matter. or it might be to spend more time at home, or maybe to spend more time out in the community. Or it may be whatever it is. Here's the question, what is the story that God wants you to tell? And in light of what God wants you to tell, here's this application question. Where does God want you to stay? Where does God want you to stay the course so that you can tell the story that God wants you to tell? Where does God want you to stay when it would be easier to go? It could be any number of different places. Some people are in school, and they're thinking, man, I can't make it through. It's just too hard. It's too consuming. It's too big of a hill. I can't climb it. And so they say, I'm not going to finish. I'm going to walk away. Or God may speak and say, hey, to them, to us, you're not a quitter. You're a finisher. And so what do? We keep our head down and we go to back at it, and we're working at it. And one day we wake up and we realize, you know, that mountain, if it was school or whatever it is, here I am. And it wasn't easy, but now I've got a job, or now I've got this thing that I wanted to see happen that otherwise wouldn't have, because I'm not a quitter, I'm a finisher. And I decided to stay when it would have been easier to quit. That might be someone's story. Some of us, it might be the problem that comes up at church one day. You get your feelings hurt. Someone does something you don't like, and you say, well, forget them. Forget them, those Christians. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. Hey, let me tell you, the church is not perfect. If you ever find a perfect church, don't go and join it, because the first time that you show up, you're going to mess it up. It's all going to be messed up. And so you get your feelings hurt. Well, I'm leaving church. I'm going to show them. I'm walking away. I'm just not staying in this stupid church thing. And that can be your story. It's a lot of people's story. Oh, I just stopped going to church. Or I just got busy. I used to go to church. That can be your story. Or you can say, you know what? They hurt me, but I'm going to do for them what Christ has done for me. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to work through it. And I'm going to stay in there. And then years later, your story is, well, hey, man, yeah, I got hurt, but I forgave them, and they forgave me. And, you know, now we're close, and I'm so glad I stayed in the church, because spiritually, I'm at a place where I never was before. And now, one of the high points of my life is making a difference in the world as a part of the church, the body of Christ. What a beautiful song we heard a bit ago. I decided to stay when it would have been so easy to go. Some of you, maybe the story is going to be with God. Something going to happen in your life and you don't like it, or you don't understand it, and you say something like, God, if you're going to let this happen when you could have stopped it, then forget you. And your story can be that you walked away from God, just like people all over the world. God, if you're going to let that happen, then I can't believe in you. Or maybe you might decide to stay with God, as God will always stay with you, because He will never leave you or forsake you. And so you tell Him, I don't understand it. This thing doesn't make sense to me, God, but I realize I am not God and You are. So I'm choosing to believe in You even when I don't feel Your presence. And then time goes on and something happens inside of you, and you start to look back on that thing that you hated, and you realize, I didn't know it at the time, but oh my gosh, God actually used that in my life to make me different. What the enemy was meaning for evil, somehow God has used it for good. And now I know God and His faithfulness in a way that I didn't before. And now I'm living for Him and for His glory in a way that I never thought possible. And this is my story, because I decided to stay with God when it would have been easier to walk away, because I didn't understand. For some, it might be something in a marriage. And let me spend a few moments here. As I say, as I do, let me say two things. First, number one, I don't want anyone to feel guilty about our past chapters in our stories because we can't change the past. And number two, if someone is being abused, if someone is being beaten, I'm not telling you to stay or be a punching bag. I'm telling you, get away where you can be safe, where you can be healthy, where they can become healthy, and where you can become healthy and work on it in a healthy way. I'm not telling you to stay, let anyone hurt you. What I'm saying is, over and over again, in our society today, we see one spouse or another say, well, I'm not very happy, so we might as well cash it in. Well, he's not meeting my needs, you know, and the trainer at the gym, he sure compliments me a lot. Or, you know, she's kind of boring, but the girl at work, she's kind of fun, and so I'm walking away. He didn't make me happy. I mean, we gave it a shot for a little while, but it just didn't work out. And when your marriage gets to that point, it's a struggle. And we all get there because we're sinful people. But we need to ask ourselves, what story do we want to tell? Well, kids, we gave it a shot for a little while, but we just weren't happy. And this can be the story, and it's a lot of people's story. Or your story might be like this. We didn't like each other. We hated each other. But we didn't believe in murder, so we just prayed that the other one would die. I mean, it was tough. There was a stretch there where it was a challenge. But you know what? We made a covenant before God, and so we hung in there, and we got counseling, and we got help, and we made church a priority, and we got in a small group, and in that small group, people spoke into our lives, and it didn't happen overnight, but over a period of time, God started to change us. Now we have a marriage. It's not perfect, but and we've gone this many years, kids, because we believe a covenant is something important, and God has given us something we didn't think it was possible. Now, some of you are going to say, but Bob, you don't understand. I mean, he cheated on me. She cheated on me, and adultery is grounds for divorce, so I can leave, right? Well, yes, adultery is grounds for divorce. It's also grounds for forgiveness as well. And some of you may make a decision to stay when you have every right to go. The best decision you ever make might be to stay when it's far easier to go. Some of you right now, maybe you've been faithful for a long time. You've been in a boring job and you feel like a failure. Or you're raising boring kids, or you're around grandkids and you feel like a failure. Or maybe you're stuck in the same boring marriage and you feel like a failure. What I want you to hear is sometimes the greatest act of faith is faithfulness. Staying where you're planted. And many of you may not see your Boaz immediately, but I'm telling you what, Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not, what? Give up. If we do not give up. The decisions we make today determine the stories we'll tell tomorrow. And sometimes the best decision you can make is to stay when it would be easier to go. So what story does God want you to tell? And how do we tell a story worth, live a story worth telling? Decide to stay when it would be easier to go. Let us pray. Let's pray together. O gracious God, O loving Father, Almighty Lord, Faithful One. God, I pray that today you would minister to us, minister to all of us. For those who are here in the middle of a trial, a struggle, a decision, I pray, God, that you would help us to have courage to do what is right over what is easy. For some, the decision might be, do I stay the course or do I walk away from this job or this trial or this relationship or whatever it is? Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And may He be the author and the perfecter of our faith, the author and the perfecter of our story. We see that Ruth decided to stay when it would have been easier to go. And you blessed her for it, God. Lord, I thank you that as we face decisions, your Holy Spirit helps us. Your Spirit is with us. So, Lord, encourage us and strengthen us and give us your grace to tell the story that you want us to tell. Help us with our decisions. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said, amen.